So I want to talk about something this morning. This is a little different. I don't know how this is going to work. You know, every once in a while, the pastor comes up with some kind of crazy idea, and it turns out not to work the way he expected it to. I was thinking a while back, Mark had a message, you know, I was thinking. You know, I got to thinking. That's what happened to me this week. I got to thinking. And what I was thinking was, I was thinking that sin is stupid. How many of you think sin is stupid? Yeah, sin's stupid. It really is. It's one of the stupidest things I know. There's a lady who I know in the area here who really hates the word stupid. She thinks it should be banned. You know, to her, it's equal to every other curse word out there. And I don't like to see people calling other people stupid. I think that's a stupid idea. But I started looking up the word stupid because, you know, words have something they come from. You're aware of that? Like, there's this thing called etymology, and you can go back and study where words came from, how they got started, and all that kind of stuff. Stupid comes from way back in the 1540s, is when it got started, and it came to mean mentally slow or lacking ordinary activity of mind, dull or inane, and it was from the Middle French stupide. Which I remember us learning that when I was in French class. Hey, stupido, something like that. I don't know whether that was correct or not. And directly from the Latin, stupidus. And some of us are stupidus. You know, it's just the way it works. And the idea, again, was amazed, confounded, dull, foolish, literally struck senseless. And so here's the thing. This comes from the idea of hitting somebody really hard and kind of, my grandpa used to tell a story. I don't know how true this is, but it was my grandpa Bowler's story. And the story was that this fella had a dog, and they would go out coon hunting with this fella. And this dog was the best coon dog ever. And it would tree a coon very quickly. And then when you shot the coon out of the tree, you'd go over to get the coon, and the dog would want to fight you for it. And the problem was, you know, you couldn't get to the coon. You just shot out of the tree because the dog standing over at ground. And he said the guy would just walk up to it, pull his flash out, and smack it in the head. And the dog would go, duh, for a second. And he'd pick up the coon, put it in his coat. And then the dog would be looking around, and then he'd be fine. And then off they'd go to the next. And just struck him senseless. Now, this sounds horrible to us in the day and age that we live in. But, you know, people used to think it was normal to, quote, unquote, beat some sense into somebody. And the world was cruder at one time. And so that's how this kind of developed. This really was the idea of knocking some sense into somebody or knocking someone in the head and they would be senseless for a few minutes, something like that. By the way, we still use certain words today, related words. Stupendous comes from the same root. And stunning, somebody's stunningly beautiful. So, you know, it's like you've been hit in the head and you can't think for a second. I'm amazed how often that I can miss the mark. And it's almost stunning how stupid I can be sometimes. Anybody besides me have those moments where you're like, what was I thinking? And you miss the mark, which, by the way, is the definition of sin. You miss the thing that you intended to do. And so if you think about it, sin is stupid because it has this tendency to come back around and whack you, doesn't it? Like after you do something that is a sin, you kind of realize that was stupid. And so that's what got me to thinking about this. So who remembers the first sin in the scripture? Anybody got an idea? In Genesis? Yeah, Adam and Eve. And they ate the apple. And Romans chapter 12 says it this way. Chapter 5, verse 12. If you want to join me, I'm just going to fly through some of these today, so it might be easier to listen. But Romans chapter 5 and verse 12 says, therefore, just as though or through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, thus death spread to all men, because all sinned. So it starts with Adam. All have sinned. So imagine for a moment that you're Adam and Eve. Well, maybe not both of them. You're Adam or Eve. And see, I said something stupid right there, and y'all laughed. And things have been really going pretty good for who knows how long. This is an interesting thing, by the way. I was recently in a conversation with somebody who was, you know, getting theologically deep and waxing eloquent. And, you know, there is a theology out there that says that Adam and Eve may have lived for a long, 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 long time in the garden. Because there wasn't any death and they didn't have anything going that was bad. And they may have been in there for centuries. Which would maybe explain why there were other people in the world when they finally did get driven out of the garden, and then they had sons that had problems, and then one of them went out and found somebody to marry. Where did that person come from? Well, maybe Adam and Eve were having kids on a regular basis, and the kids were growing up and going out into the world. And there wasn't any sin in the world because there wasn't any sin in the world. They just happened to be living in the garden. Anyway, that's neither here nor there, but imagine you're Adam and Eve, and you've been going along for a while, and things have been good. Like they've just always been good. God's in a habit of coming down and talking to you and walking through the cool of the garden with you, and things are good and life's good and everything's going along pretty good. And then one day along comes a serpent. And the serpent, just starts telling you this stuff. And you're Eve. And you're listening to this stuff. Do you think Eve really thought through what she did? Do you think that she sat down and really tried to calculate the results or the implications of what she was being told and what would happen when she did what she did? Do you think she really expected it? In fact, the scriptures say that she was deceived. 1 Timothy 2:4 says, "And Adam was not the one deceived, but it was the woman who was deceived and became a sinner." We are talking about sin today, even though we're also going to talk about stupid, because sin is stupid. So, you know, when you're deceived, you don't know that you're deceived. That's the nature of deception. Like, I don't know what I don't know. I didn't know that I was doing something stupid. It didn't hit me. It didn't clearly come into my mind what the ramifications of what I was doing would be. We have all done that. Now, some believe that Adam, by the way, some theologians again, some of these theological things are okay. They're interesting. I don't know that it's going to change my relationship with God much, but some believe that Adam wasn't deceived. That Adam understood that she had eaten of the fruit, and he was like calculating this thing. Okay, what happens now? Because if she ate it and I didn't, then does that mean that something's going to happen where I don't get to be around her anymore? And, you know, when he first saw her, he said, "Whoa, man," that was what he called her. And so he didn't want to be without her because he wanted to be with her and maybe had been with her for a long, long, long time and didn't know what life would be like without her. And so he knew that he was about to do something stupid. But he did it anyway. Think about it. He did it anyway because he wanted to be with her. Whatever the motivations, I still think both of them were probably a little stunned when the fullness of it hit them after they had both eaten. Because we know they suddenly realized they were naked, and then they were hiding from God, and everything went south, and it just really wasn't working. It was really a pretty stunning, I guess is the best way to say it, experience. And I imagine they both felt pretty stupid. So ultimately, that's why I say sin is stupid. And I've repeated this over and over and over. God can't think of something stupid for you to do. That means if God wants you to do it, it's probably a good thing. But sometimes we look at what God wants us to do and we don't think it's a good thing, and we look at what the devil wants us to do and we think it's a good thing, and isn't that stupid? Like, that's amazingly stupid. Well, maybe that doesn't happen to you, but it does to me. So, as I said, I was thinking. I know that's very dangerous. I thought about playing the clip from Belle is the name of the character in Disney's Beauty and the Beast. Yeah, because there's two guys talking and they're singing actually, and one says, you know, whatever the other guy's name is, I was thinking, and the other guy says, a dangerous prospect, and he goes, I know. You know, you get to thinking sometimes and you have these thoughts. What if I looked up all the places, is what I was thinking. What if I looked up some of the places, not all the places, because there are so many places where sin's mentioned in the Bible that would be, we'd be here a long time. But what if I looked up some of the places where the scripture talks about sin and replaced the word sin with stupid? Would that bring me any kind of a revelation? Would it stick in my head differently than maybe it's stuck now? Would I learn anything? So, like our first scripture that I did, Romans chapter 5, verse 12, I'll read it to you with a new translation. We'll call this the stupid translation. Therefore, just as through one man, stupid entered the world, and death through stupid, thus death spread to all men because all men are stupid. Everywhere I said stupid, it used to be sin, see, but I got to looking at that and I thought, well, that does kind of make sense, doesn't it? Like, that kind of rings true, especially, I don't know, right now it seems to ring really true in the world we're living in. And the other verse, 1 Timothy, and Adam was not the one deceived, but it was the woman who was deceived and became stupid. Now, some of the women were like, well, now you're telling women they're stupid. Actually, you know, I don't mean to make the women sound stupid, but think about it this way. If that verse makes the woman sound stupid, the man is even more stupid, because while she didn't know how stupid she was, he was stupid on purpose. And I've known a lot of men that did that. I've known a lot of men who did stupid on purpose. I are one of them. So I got to thinking about this some more. This is really good. Some say that preachers today don't preach enough on sin, and I've even been, you know, asked, don't you think you should preach on sin more often? And my answer is, I preach on sin a lot. I just don't stand up and rail against sin like, you know, don't do that, you evil person. I try to tell people how to live right, and I juxtapose that against what doesn't work. Because see, sin doesn't work. And the opposite of sin is life. So we don't want to be stupid. I'm going to take you through a few more scriptures here and see if this adjusts our perspective. Matthew 1:21 says, and she will bring forth, this is speaking of Mary, and she will bring forth a son, and he's talking to Joseph, by the way, at the moment. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their stupid. I read that way and I went, oh, you know, that's pretty good. I know it says sins, he'll save his people from their sins, but I find it exciting to think about the idea that God actually wants to keep me from stupid. Like, wouldn't it be great if we could walk with God in such a way that we just avoided all stupid altogether? I'd like to avoid stupid because I get tired of stupid. Maybe I'm tired of it because it happens a lot. But nevertheless, I just think to myself, that would be really good. And God wants to deliver you. Look at somebody next to you and say, God wants to deliver you. Yeah, you wait a minute. I don't know if I want to tell them that. Am I saying to them, God wants to deliver them from stupid? Am I calling them stupid? Well, not really. But here's the thing. We're all in good company because all are stupid and have fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. Everybody say all. Okay. There are a lot of people out there who think they're smart, but the Bible says all. None of us left out. I do think some people don't quite get this, though. I do think there are a lot of people running around the world, and maybe today it's worse than it's been in any time in history that I can think of, but some people don't get it. Matthew chapter 9, verses 10 and 11 says this, now it happened as Jesus sat at the table in the house, that behold, many tax collectors and stupid people came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and stupid people? I am so comforted with the fact that Jesus likes hanging around stupid people. Maybe you're not, but I'm really comforted by the fact that he does. As sinners, but sinners are stupid. Sin is stupid. It makes me feel like no matter how dumb I am, I can be with him and that he's going to love me. So here's a question for you. Are you ready for this? Do you love stupid people? Well, first of all are stupid and have fallen short of the glory of God. So if you don't love stupid people, you don't love anybody. That would be your problem right there. But I've noticed that these days there seem to be a lot of people who have a disdain for people who they consider lower than themselves, who they consider stupid. And I believe, honestly, elitism is a real problem in our world right now. I think there are a lot of people who think they've got it all figured out, and they don't realize they don't. And in a lot of cases, they're not even close, but they think they know. They think they're smart. They think they have enough of this kind of education or that kind of education or something. And by the way, this hasn't been just the domain of worldly people. It has been the domain of religious people very often in the past. There have been religious people who thought they had it all together because they didn't realize that we're all stupid in some area of our life. I love what Jesus said to the Pharisees who thought they were above everybody else. John 9:41, Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no stupid. But I say to you, but now you say, we see, therefore your stupid remains." Now, I put stupid in where sin was. But listen to it again. Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no stupid. But you say, we see, therefore your stupid remains." Makes you think, doesn't it? When you put it that way, you're like, yeah. So how do we handle stupid people? What if I told you there's a verse for that? Are you ready for a verse to handle stupid people? Here we go. Matthew 18:21. "Moreover, if your brother is stupid against you, go tell him his fault between you and him alone. And if he hears you, you have gained your brother." I know. It actually says sinned. But think about it. How many times has somebody done something to you and it was really, really just so stupid and unnecessary? It was stunning how dumb it was. They were even stunned with how dumb it was, or they didn't even get it. I wonder what would happen, though, if we extended the same grace to people who are stupid in a way that we're not stupid or think we're not stupid, that God extends. Because remember, he has forgiven you and me our stupid. He's forgiven us our stupid. So I want to get past being stupid. That's a big deal. How do I get past being stupid? Well, Acts chapter 3, verse 19. "Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your stupid may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." It's possible to not be stupid. Remember, I'm talking about sin. It's possible not to sin. People will say, everybody. Well, I know what we do. But, you know, some of us have actually gone a few minutes here this morning without sinning. Some of you might have. You might have had thoughts toward me that were sinful. Stupid preacher. I don't know what you're thinking, but you know, you've probably gone a few minutes without sinning in this room, and some of you may have not even sinned yet today. It's questionable because you did have to drive here and there are speed limits, but that's another subject altogether. You know, there was a man who's, you know, he's laying down and he's like, you know, "Lord, it's been such an amazing day. And everything has just gone right, and everything has been so good. And I thank you for this amazing day. I've been able to keep myself from sin. I've been able to keep my thoughts right. Everything's been so wonderful about this day. But Lord, the alarm clock went off 5 minutes ago, and I got to get up now. Because he starts his day good, but it doesn't always end the day that well. So what else can we do to become less stupid? Luke 6, 32 through 34 reads this way. But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even stupid people love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even stupid people do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even stupid people lend to stupid people to receive back as much. Here's the thing. Our breakthrough into a greater level of understanding of what God has for us is found in going beyond the stupid. And sometimes going beyond the stupid means I have to be smart enough to ignore the stupid and move forward instead of being offended by the stupid and stuck where I am. Is this making sense to anybody? Nope, nobody. Okay. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still stupid, Christ died for us. I know it says sins, but what I'm saying is before the light came on, Jesus died for us while we were still stupid. So to be like God is the smartest way that we can get over stupid in our life. Or again, read into that sin. The smartest way that we can, the fastest way that we can break out of sin, break out of stupid, is to love others who maybe don't love us and don't even act very loving toward us. John 8:34 says, Jesus answered them, most assuredly I say unto you, whoever commits stupid is a slave of stupid. When I was reading all these verses on sin, and I read a lot of verses on sin, I decided not to go, like I said, to the Old Testament. I just wanted to work on some New Testament ones so much. And when I started putting the word stupid in these different spots, it was like, this is really interesting. Do I want to be a slave to stupid? Let me just ask it this way. Don't call out any names and don't look at anybody. If you know anybody who seems to be a slave to stupid? Like, stupid happens to them more than other people? You probably know somebody who has more stupid happening to them than it happens to other people. That actually does happen. I think there are some people that seem to be stupid magnets. They draw stupid to themselves. So I kept looking at these verses, and I kept thinking, I want to be more aware of the things that are trying to keep me from having a good life and keep me, if you will, keep me in a place of just being stupid. Romans 6, 5 through 11. I'm going to read a little longer portion here. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of stupid might be done away with. Sin, but again. And that we no more should be slaves of stupid. For he who has died has been freed from stupid. I like this. This is good. Now, if we died with Christ, and we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more, death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to stupid once for all. But the life that he lives to God. It doesn't quite work in that sentence quite as well because Jesus never sinned. Jesus was never stupid, not for a minute. But the idea is that sin, or the stupid stuff that goes with sin, dies when we die. Verse 11, likewise you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to stupid, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. I like that. I like it. If I could just be a lot less stupid, if I could be completely unstupid. That's not even a word, is it? No, that was stupid. So here's an exercise, by the way, that you might want to try. Next time you see the word sin, you might just plug in the word stupid and think how that speaks to you. Or you might even go like to Romans right here. Romans 6, 7, and 8 talks a lot about sin. And when you read it and you read all these different things with the word stupid put in the place, it's really interesting how it kind of just jumps out to you. And here's one more well-known verse from chapter 6 of Romans, or chapter, yeah, Romans chapter 6. It's verse 23. For the wages of stupid is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, some people read this, the wages of sin are death, and they think, you know, well, if you don't get saved, you're a sinner, and if you're a sinner, then you're going to go to hell. And you know, it's not just that. Yes, it is that, but it's not just that. Like, how many of you have had a lot of your dreams die? A lot of things that you'd hoped for that crashed and burned, a lot of things that you would like to have seen because somehow stupid got in there and messed it up. Maybe it wasn't even your stupid, but nevertheless, stupid got in and destroyed everything. So if I think of it this way, it helps me wage a war on things because sometimes we look at sin and we look at it more harshly than the word stupid. And I'm not saying sin isn't worse in a way, but yet sin is stupid. Well, I'll get to that in a minute, maybe. John, 1 John 1, 7, and also verse 9. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all stupid. If we confess our stupid, he is faithful and just to forgive our stupid and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. See, I see myself walking a cleaner life. I see myself walking a different life. I see myself looking at the times when I've been stupid, when I've missed the mark, and I want to do that less. I know that we've accepted Christ as our Savior, and it's not like we're not trying to follow him, but sometimes I think that we don't recognize that we could be missing some stuff. Let me illustrate it with this verse. This will help. James chapter 4 and verse 17. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is stupid. You know, there are times when I could have had more. And it was wrong of me to miss the more that God had for me because there was opportunity for God's glory and for my enlightenment and for my uplifting and for God to be able to change me and adjust me and make my life better. But stupidly, I was like, I don't need to do that right now, or somebody else will do that, or whatever. And I missed this glorious thing that God wanted to do. We miss out on God's good for us. At least I know I've missed many opportunities. And I think too often we think of sin and we're focused on how we failed God. In reality, I think it's kind of stupid of us to think that God needs anything from us. I should have looked it up. There's a verse that talks about that. Because the reality is God can get everything that God needs to get done without any one of us. He's including us for us. He's including us for our sake. So sometimes when we put the word stupid in the place of sin, it gives us a different picture. And all of a sudden, I'm like, I'm kind of used to the fact that I've missed the mark and that I'm going to miss the mark. But when I think of it as stupid, then I don't want to be stupid. Maybe that's just me. Maybe that was the way I was raised. Maybe too many people called me stupid when I was young, and I'm in rebellion to it. I don't know. But the fact of the matter is, I just don't want to miss what God's got for me, because that would be stupid. And there are so many verses that we could look at, as I've said, but let's look at just one more. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 8. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of stupid. Yes, I saw some of you were quoting it with me as I was saying, love covers a multitude of sins. But when you think of it this way, love covers a multitude of stupid. Well, is there so much stupid out there that love can't cover it? Is there so much stupid going on that love can't take care of it? Is there so much stupid that, you know, we have to fight and scream and rail and carry on? Or can we just start being full of love? I want to be a lover. I want to love no matter whether someone else loves or not. No matter how stupid someone else might be, I want to be able to cover that. And that's hard sometimes, especially when they were stupid and it cost me something. How many of you have had somebody around you do something and that was really stupid and it was off the mark completely and it cost you a bunch? But if you can think of it this way, when it happens, if this stupid message that I just preached will resonate in our heads and we'll start recognizing it for what it is, well, that was really stupid. I just need to love that person. And I need people to love me when I'm stupid. And, you know, so we're both like on the same page here. And we can do this. We can do this. And it is really stupid when I forget that I'm just as stupid as others. So if I love, I can cover a multitude of stupid. And then I can reap what I sowed. And see God's love touch a world full of stupid. So at the end of a lot of my messages, I will say something like, be the one who, and give you a challenge. But today, I just want to say, don't be the one who's stupid. Don't be that one. Get over it. Get over yourself. Get over whatever the other stupid is. And just let love cover. Amen.